Right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, we broke the record at Foundation Church on Sunday with 712 people watching live. Truly unbelievable. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. Let me say everybody in the chat, A. Wethy is on, Peg Joe is on, Coco Dominke is on, Dave Souter is on, Kep Guy One is on, Hans Donovan is on, Why Not Me is on, A.A. Allen 23 is on, General Lee 78 is on, Judy Anita is on, Sheila K is on, Hassle Free TV is on, Richard Perry 49 is on, Mike Griffith is on, Man 26 is on, L.A. 106 Times is on, Motown, JBH is on, Drummond for Jesus is on, Sun Woo 45 is on, the one and only Salty Gonads is on, Daniel Armstrong Wreck is on, Mike McGoyne is on, Veronica 18201 is on, Swethy is on, Hope is on. Richard, my wife is on. Hope Lively One is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Nitsua 99 is on. Appseek Truth is on. UNC B-Ball is on. Why Not Me is on. Horror Hotel is on. Lizzie 859 is on. The one and only Big Jim Go Blue is on. He's really his big buddy. He's a big, big, big dude. Let's see. Conservative Waffle is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Pitrock 68 is on. The Great 8. T1AU is on. Tammy L. Margreter is on. Charlie 340 is on. Hello back to you. Kev FM1 is on. US Abbey Girl is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Confederate 1 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Swifty Shooter 96 is on. JBC 2020 is on. R. Major 79 is on. Let me see. Jeffrey Burns Tileman is on. See if anybody I missed here. 50925 McDonald is on. Ah, yes, the one and only Clean Sanchez. What up? Back to you, brother. Glad you're on. Demachado 106 is on. See you, Sean Hiltabital is on. See you, BMS. Really appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Really, really do. So let's hop right to this night. Short show, 9:10. Be done by 10:10. 10:10. Done by 10:10. There you go. Who believes me in the chat? Sexy Pony believes me. There you go. Thank you. I believe me too. So 10:10 is what we're shooting for. 1 hour from right now, we'll be done. Let's hop right to the first one here. Let's go through Trump accomplishments first. We got to get to the Senate. Got some new vax news that's come out. Some Anthony Fauci news that's come out that we've got to get to tonight. Because even though, listen, I'm still pretty much riding a high from last Wednesday, the war is now beginning. The resistance to Donald Trump is already in place because it hasn't been removed. We have, you know, decade after decade after decade of deep state acolytes inside of Washington, D.C. We're not going to win this thing overnight, but obviously we won a major battle getting Donald Trump in there. Now let's look at who he's putting into power positions here. Donald J. Trump. Aaron sent this to me as soon as it came out. I think it was yesterday, at some point on Sunday. I will not be inviting former Ambassador Nikki Haley or former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I think Trump was getting the word. And there's something very important that I forgot. I see everybody's time predictions in here. 10:15 is the best. 10:18 from Swifty Shooter. 10:23. Peg Joe goes with the usual. Peg 780's got me at 10:36. Well, anyway, we'll see. 10:10. Only got 59 minutes to go. So I think that Trump was getting the word from everybody that nobody wanted. And either, I mean, Haley, he had already publicly said was not going to be invited back. And he had already contacted her and said, you're not going to be invited back. But people were very concerned about Mike Pompeo, considering the close relationship that Mike Pompeo has had or maybe still has with Donald Trump. Now, important thing that I left off on Friday, I think, was Alex Jones's part in all this. Alex Jones got word either to President Trump, trying to remember his exact verbiage that Alex Jones said, but he either got a hold of President Trump himself or his staff members and said, do you know what Mike Pompeo has said about you? Do you know? And Donald Trump didn't know. Now you're like, how could that possibly be? Well, listen, if you are the most famous man, I would venture to say, I'm talking about normal everyday person. I'm not saying Jesus, the most famous man maybe that's ever lived. Definitely on the earth right now. Would everybody agree?
Yeah.
But maybe that's ever lived because Donald Trump has been a political figure now since 2016, And he was known way, way, way before that. So maybe the most famous man that's ever lived. You're going to miss some communiques about you. I'm not excusing it. I'm just telling you that he didn't see a, and we played it on the podcast, a very important video where Mike Pompeo was all but calling for his prosecution about the classified documents case. I mean, and I don't even want to say all but. He was calling for it. He was calling for President Trump to be prosecuted for it. And that's the video that Alex Jones got to President Trump. And when Trump saw it, this is all according to Alex Jones, he was not happy. Not happy at all. And because there's so many, you know, you can see how President Trump would miss it because, you know, you're talking about thousands of people saying thousands of things about you, compounded by thousands per day on multiple social media posts. So, I mean, multiple social media platforms now. So anyway, he missed it. And lo and behold, I mean, a day and a half later, he makes it very clear. He had already made it very clear about Haley. But Mike Pompeo, I think, was in the running. I hate to say it, but listen, Donald Trump is good. Just like he did from 16 to 21. He made a lot of great decisions, and he made a lot of horrific personnel decisions. He made mostly really good political decisions, blew it up on COVID. If he wouldn't have blown it up on COVID, we'd be talking about the end of the second Trump term. But it all works out great. And I honestly think that was part of the Kim Clement prophecy. Is it worked out great for us because right now we'd be trying to elect Mike Pence. I mean, we're not trying to elect. We would have been trying to elect Mike Pence last week. Knowing who he really is now, he would have played that fake role he played the whole time. And we wouldn't have known any better. Some of people already knew. Pastor Rod, my pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, he knew Mike Pence a decade ago, was calling him out. And probably other people do. But if someone like me who's just a dyed-to-the-wall conservative, you know, Christian conservative who didn't really know everything that was going on, I knew who to vote for, but I didn't know everything that was going on. People like Pastor Rodney, Alex Jones, people like that. You can see Pastor Rodney on Alex Jones' show quite frequently. They're in the know. And now people like me and Aaron and Brent, we've all woken up over the last 4 years and 9 months and 15 days to fly on the curve. But I didn't really know all these things. So it all has worked out really well because now we don't have to deal with Mike Pence. We got a legit conservative warrior in there with J.D. Vance. You're like, well, he's unproven. He's unproven. Hopefully he doesn't fall. Hopefully he doesn't fall away. Hopefully he doesn't blow it. But so far, so good. And I mean, I'm telling you right now, the person that we're going to be running, that J.D. Vance will be running against in 2028 will be Gavin Newsom. And you had better have your act together, go against Gavin Newsom. And I'm like, it's not that I think he's super intelligent. He's super polished. He will come on stage, a debate stage, with 5,000 false facts memorized that appear real. And you had better be armed and ready for that with your own set of real facts that are actually real. Or you're going to lose. He's going to come out and tell you how California's... Yeah, when he debated Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSantis beat him, by the way, because Ron DeSantis is a J.D. Vance. Same person, really. Ron DeSantis beat him because Ron DeSantis had all the facts memorized. If you don't, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. So we need to have somebody extremely sharp, great debater when he runs against Gavin Newsom in 2028. One of the other things was is that Don Jr. was like, he didn't want any presidential... contender, anybody that could potentially run against J.D. Vance as part of their administration. You know, so Nikki Haley is always the political prostitute that she is. She's always going to be running for president so she can raise more money. And then she can always put on her resume that she's a presidential contender, a presidential candidate, because then she gets the jobs on Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and was completely and totally broke after being the governor of South Carolina, but is a multi-millionaire now because she's on the board of a military industrial complex company. I can't remember which one. So anyway, or was on the board. So Pompeo and Haley are out. Haley, we already knew, but he had to make it very clear that Pompeo's out. And I believe that we can credit Alex Jones with that, at least partially Alex Jones with that. So great job, Alex Jones. All right, let's go to the next one here. Coach Video, new hashtag Trump appointee, border czar Tom Holman. Play it for me.
Some of these Democratic governors say they're going to stand in the way. They're going to make it hard for us. Well, I you know, a suggestion. If you're not going to help us, get the hell out of the way if we're going to do it. So if we can't get assistance from New York City, and I may have, you know, we may have to double the number of agents we send in New York City, because we're going to do the job. We're going to do the job without you or with you.
So you have to be willing to say what Holman just said. Everybody else shirks their responsibility. They shrink from the limelight. They shrink from courageous statements. And you actually say, because Phil Murphy, I'm trying to think of all the governors now. I know it's Pritzker, Newsom, Murphy, all these COVID totalitarians have come out and said they're going to get Letitia James, also then on a governor, AG of New York. Oh, Hochul also came out, the governor of New York. So they're going to come out and resist Donald Trump. First of all, we already have, again, the four-year experiment of 2016. Well, it's 2017 through 2021. But of Donald Trump's administration, he did nothing to any of these states. What did he do to Illinois? And just go up to anybody and ask him, what rights has he ever taken away from anybody? There is no answer. The trans rights, what right did he ever take away from a trans person? If you want to be a dude and lop off your own penis, feel free, but we're not going to let you lop off the penises of 12-year-olds. We never took away any of your rights. No rights have ever been taken. So what exactly are they standing up against? Nobody has any idea. Because here's the thing. If you want to slaughter your own child in the state of Minnesota, go right ahead. You can already do it. In the state of New York, you can already go ahead and do it. New Jersey, you can already do it. Illinois, you can already do it. California, you can already. What exactly are you standing up against? One of the key things, of course, because it was Tom Holman talking about it, is immigration. Because they are sanctuary states, and inside the sanctuary states are sanctuary cities. Well, fine. Cut off all their funding. I hope Trump goes absolutely apocalyptic with all of these people. He means cut off all their money. Because all of these people depend on federal money to fund the illegal immigrant problem in their own state that they don't call a problem. That's only a problem because it's not a problem for J.B. Pritzker, who's a multibillionaire. It's not a problem for Hochul or Letitia James, who live behind guns and live behind walls that they don't allow you to have. Or Phil Murphy, who's a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter what. You know, that there's illegal immigrants on the street. It doesn't matter. He's buying walls and guns. Same thing with Gavin Newsom. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. It doesn't really matter. I don't know if Phil Murphy's a multimillionaire. But anyway, he probably is. Aaron, check on that for me. See what Phil Murphy's worth. Yep. But anyway, so, I mean, it doesn't matter to them. It matters to their constituencies that there is out of control migrant crime. I mean, remember, they all claim that migrants are less likely to commit crimes than American citizens. But 75% of the crime in Brooklyn is committed by illegals. So it makes absolutely no sense. Plus, every illegal migrant is already a criminal. And why are we not seeing all the headlines of Americans committing these horrible rapes and murders? We would see that those are headlines no matter who commits them. Yeah, Phil Murphy, he's worth $80 million. And so that he's not super concerned about the illegal crime problem. He's not worried about somebody else's 12-year-old daughter being raped and murdered. Remember Phil Murphy at the table, you know, eating dinner out when he had everybody else masked. He had everybody losing their jobs for COVID, closing down their businesses, losing their churches as he went out to dinner unmasked. And he was confronted, remember? Because none of these things matter to him when you're worth $80 million and you've got private security and governmental security, a mansion, a wall, and multiple guns. It doesn't matter to him. And it's the same for Hochul, Letitia James, Gavin Newsom, J.B. Pritzker, who's the richest of them all. It doesn't matter to any of those. But again, they don't have any rights. They all wanted this to be a federal problem. They are always, all these people are always saying, that local states, they all jump on Ken Paxton. They jump on Greg Abbott when they resist illegal migration inside of the state of Texas. This is a federal problem. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for the rules. Thank you for the precedent. We appreciate it. It's a federal problem. And now, like Tom Holman says, you know what? If you're going to block us, we're going to hire more people. You're going to block us, we'll hire more people. Whatever it takes, we're going to get the illegal migrants out of your state. All right, go to the next for me, Brent. Here's a message from Trump Vance Transition. Statement from President Donald Trump. I'm honored to nominate Chairwoman Elise Stefanik to serve in my cabinet as United States Ambassador to the United Nations. Elise is a strong and very smart American first fighter. She graduated, blah, blah, blah. We won't do all that. But anyway, so Elise Stefanik, okay, for Tom Lipley, about 80% approval. She does pretty good. She has, once again, at times, shrinked from the moment. Shrunk, that would be the proper verbiage. Grammar, shrunk from the moment. At times she has, but I will say this, over the last 2 years, I have not seen her do that. She's been a mega, MAGA fighter. So again, we're not going to get perfect people. We've got to get the best that we can get. And Elise Stefanik is one of the best that we can get. Although not perfect, she doesn't rise to the level of a Stephen K. Bannon or someone like that. But she is really good and really the best of the best when it comes to legitimate MAGA Donald Trump defender. So good pick here. Let's go to the next one. Here's more picks. New York Post tweet, Trump brings back Stephen Miller. Now, Stephen doesn't get any better, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is an absolute border closure hawk. Close it completely. And now he's the deputy chief of staff, which means it won't be long till he's probably the chief of staff, probably because they have a lot of these things rotate. And he'll probably end up being the chief of staff at some point. But anyway, and the chief of staff, the guy's the woman who ran his campaign. She seems to be good. Used to be a DeSantis person. They had some kind of falling out. But anyway, pull her name up for me, Aaron. Would you, Trump's chief of staff?
Susan Wiles.
Susan Wiles. You got it, Susan Wiles. So he'll be her assistant, but Stephen Miller's far more than her assistant. Stephen Miller is a policy wonk, a stone cold killer, political killer. So great pick here. Doesn't get any better. He's never wavered. He knows the election was stolen. He's never wavered from it. He never shrinks from the moment. He doesn't do that. He always stands up, always says the right thing. If you ask him point blank, was the election stolen? He will say, absolutely, it was stolen. That's how you can tell whether somebody's real or not, which we'll get into that in a minute, who's not actually not real. All right, go to the next one for me, Brent. From the pick from the Gateway Pundit, President Trump selects, I got as many as I could get for you guys of who he's putting into cabinet positions or administrative positions. President Trump selects Florida Congressman Michael Waltz as National Security Advisor. What I've seen of Congressman Waltz has been good. That's him. He's a warrior. I don't know whether he was a SEAL or whatever he was, but obviously fought for this country. From what I've seen of Waltz, really solid, good pick. Go to the next one for me. Justin, President Trump chooses Lee Zeldin to run for Environmental Protection Agency. About 95% approval for me. Zeldin does a really good job. Again, has what I mean by shrinking from the moment is when you are asked a point blank question, do you answer it? And do you answer it correctly? Do you answer it courageously? Or do you do the Potomac two steps? Lee Zeldin has always done well with this. 95% of the time, he's pretty much on target. So good pick for Lee Zeldin. Narrowly lost the gubernatorial race to Kathy Hochul in the state of New York. And a lot of this, too, with these governors who are resisting Donald Trump now, they need to look at their own stats in their states. You got Phil Murphy comes out and says, I'm going to resist Trump. Trump lost New Jersey by 5 points. 5 points. New Jersey. The last time Trump ran, I believe he lost it by double digits, but I don't remember how it was, 10 to 15 points. He cut what he lost New York by in the last election by half. He lost Illinois by 4 or 5 points. And J.B. Pritzker's out there acting like he's got some sort of mandate from his constituency that almost in the majority voted for Donald Trump. So these guys are way out on a limb going against somebody that about half of their constituency voted for. So they need to be a little careful, maybe dial it back. And again, what exactly are you fighting against? Give me definitive things. We're fighting against this racism. Name what Donald Trump has ever done to any race. We're fighting for transgender rights. Tell me what Donald Trump has ever done to take anybody's transgender rights away. We're fighting for illegal migrant rights. They don't have rights. They're illegal. So there's nothing for you to fight for. Again, this is just posturing and grandstanding. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street Silver video. Trump announces, this is a great one, he will close the Federal Department of Education. Play for me.
And one other thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education and education work and needs back to the states. We want them to run the education of our children because they'll do a much better job of it. You can't do worse. We spend more money per pupil by three times than any other nation, and yet we're absolutely at the bottom. We're one of the worst. So you can't do worse. We're going to end education coming out of Washington, D.C. We're going to close it up, all those buildings all over the place, and you have people that in many cases hate our children. We're going to send it all back to the states. Thank you very much.
All right, so there you go. And it is that way, too. And if you've ever been around departments of education locally, even, it's a giant waste of money. Huge waste of money. They're paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars per year to manage race relations inside of the school system. Why do we need to be managing race relations inside of a school system? Why is race relations even an issue in the fourth grade? They always have these giant, facilities that cost hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars to build, all basically as giant monuments to inadequacy, giant monuments to ineptitude. Because listen, folks, no offense to any good teachers that are watching right now. There's always good people in the midst of giant catastrophes and giant calamities and giant ineptitudes. There really is. But our education system is an absolute freaking joke, and it needs to go back locally. It absolutely should be, and that's why we don't need to have federal law enforcement either. I ask you, what has the FBI ever done for you? They ever responded to your house? The FBI does nothing for us except attack people who are conservative. That's all it does. And by the way, that's all the Department of Education does. That's all the ATF does. That's all the DHS does. That's all the FDA does. That's all the NIH does. That's all the CDC does. Aaron is telling me Reuters, Donald Trump is expected to tap U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. Saw you on there, Sean. You put that out on the chat, so I checked it here. And Reuters, Donald Trump is expected to tap Sean Hiltabite on the chat. Tap U.S. Senator Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State, sources say on Monday. Now, that's a more of a controversial one for me.
Yeah.
Okay, Marco cannot always be relied on. Now, again, he's become a tiger, a real Trumpster, over the last 4 months, where it appeared very evident Trump's going to win. I'm going to get back to the Department of Education in a minute. I'm trying to keep you up to date with the latest stuff. But Marco does collapse when the pressure's on. He does start to equivocate when the pressure's on. But lately, he has not. But I just wonder if he's one of those people, like a lot of evangelical pastors. I'm an evangelical pastor. But a lot of evangelical pastors, they preach what will keep people in the seats. And they will equivocate. And they will change. And they will accommodate non-biblical things so that people will continue to go to the church. It's not what you do. You preach the word instantly in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In season, out of season. Whether it's popular or not. So right now, what if hellfire and brimstone becomes popular again? These same preachers who refuse to preach it now will then preach it. But they never actually believe it. And that's the way I think of Marco Rubio. Does he really believe in the Trump administration? Does he really believe in Trump's ideals? Does he really believe in MAGA? Or is he saying it now so that he can get a Secretary of State job, have that on his resume, so he has gravitas to run for president? Is that it? I don't know. We will see. I hope Marco proves me wrong, because I will say, over the last somewhere 4 to 6 months, he's been impressive. Do I think this is a great pick? Better than Mike Pompeo, certainly former CIA director and former Secretary of State. Yes. However, and Marco Rubio has never called for Donald Trump to be prosecuted like Mike Pompeo did, and has never come out and fervently said, I think we need to move on from Donald Trump, like John Thune has said. So not an absolute bad pick, but do I think there's somebody better? Yes, I do. All right, so back to Joe Trump is getting rid of the Department of Education. Listen, he's doing it, and this, I'm not belittling what he's saying, but that's an absolute no-brainer. Why do we have a federal Department of Education? Again, what's that ever done for you? I mean, most of the people watching this right now have graduated from high school, some of us, college, whatever it may be. I'm just saying, what's the federal Department of Education ever done for you? Anything? No. It's all local teachers. And why is it we need a federal Department of Education, where I just saw on our ballot when I voted for Donald J. Trump for the third time? Why is it that I'm looking, they had a referendum on the ballot to raise taxes to pay for our local school system when allegedly we're receiving federal funds? Well, we are receiving federal funds, but what do those federal funds go to? What are they designated to? And what do you have to pimp and whore to do to get those federal funds? Which we all know what that is. You are going to push a homosexual ideology. You're going to put graphic homosexual sex act pornographic books in our schools, so you're not getting the money. You're going to have teachers and administrators and school nurses pushing a transgender narrative. You're going to have secrecy between school, the school system, kids and parents, i.e. in the state of California, where a school teacher or administrator doesn't have to tell a parent when their child is transitioning or has transitioned. Doesn't have to tell a parent that they're urging the kid to transition. And if you fight against it, I'm trying to remember the state because it wasn't California, it was another state, where they've already begun pulling kids from parents because the parents don't allow their kids to transition. Then in order for you to get those federal funds, you have to adopt all of these philosophies and implement these philosophies inside of the school system. So, you know, we don't need it. And if, you know what, a local school system wants to adopt these hyper-leftist narratives and agendas, then they can suffer the consequences in local elections. Right now, local school board officials, they can avoid it. They can avoid being held accountable. They can avoid accountability because even if they don't get local funds, they're going to get federal funds to back them up. That all needs to go away. So let's look at it. So Donald Trump wants to get rid of the Department of Education, right? I wonder why. Put the next one up for me, Brent. Here we go. Here's where we are. This is as of today, everybody. This is as of today. Post-high school degrees. United States ranks 33rd of 44 advanced economies. This sounds like Joe Biden's records in law school. Science and math. The U.S. ranks middling among OECD countries. In 2022, the United States ranked 28th out of 37 member countries in math, but above average in science. Early childhood education, the U.S. ranks 35 out of 37. Spending per pupil, the United States spends an average of $19,000 per pupil, which is the second highest amount per pupil among the 40 other developed countries. So leave this up. So we spend the most. So we should be in first or second place. That makes sense, right, Aaron?
Because
we spend the most, which is the second highest. So you figured we'd always be second. No, the highest that we are is, the highest that we are is 33rd out of 44, which is tied with 28th out of 37, 11th from the bottom. There we are. That's the best that we did, but early childhood education, we're two from the bottom. And we spend the second most. So all of this, of course, it's like the Kamala campaign, which we'll get to all their expenditures in just a minute. All this money being spent on extraneous things that do absolutely nothing but give bureaucrats jobs. Give the deep state administrative state jobs. That's all that it is. And I love what Trump said. We're going to take, you know, empty these buildings out. Well, we have these buildings, these Department of Education officials in charge of transgenderism and in charge of LGBTQ, in charge of this, in charge of that. And they've got 10 staff members and then 5 secretaries. All goes bye-bye. Think about when we're $36 trillion in debt, cutting billions and billions and billions off of what we spent. All right, go to the next one for me. And here you go. In 1979, we made it all those years without a Department of Education until the worst president in history came along, besides Biden and Obama. But for a long time, Jimmy held the reins. Jimmy had it. Jimmy held the title. He was the worst president in history because, you know, one of the reasons why he is that he created the Department of Education. Since then, America went from first to 24th in education. Because whenever you turn it over to the federal government, it all goes down to Thomas Sowell type of principles. Whenever you're spending somebody else's money, you do not spend it wisely. It's as simple as that. It's way deeper than that. Bongino plays it all the time. It's really good. But anyway, whenever you're spending somebody else's money, you don't spend it wisely. You spend it frivolously. So we've gone from first to 24th. We were first in 1979 until we developed a federal Department of Education. And then we went down to 24th. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's do some election fraud stuff. Another 3 a.m. Dinesh D'Souza tweet, just so everybody, it's not over. And if we do not get to the bottom of these things, if we do not litigate these things, if we do not investigate these things, folks, we'll lose in the midterms in 2026. We got to continue. We got to stay on top of it. We cannot lose our fervency. Everybody out there, if you have the ability, you need to become a precinct committeeman or a precinct captain. That's why we won. It was major cheating in this election by the Democrats. Major cheating. I'm going to go over Arizona in just a minute with Carrie Lake, Gallego, Trump, and Harris, and compare the stats and how they make absolutely no sense. So there was major, major cheating. Aaron, see if you can find this for me. That slide that I put out a couple nights ago where it had everybody who voted who wasn't registered in the various states. See if you can dig that up for me. If not, it's actually all over Twitter. But anyway, another 3 a.m. ballot dump in Wisconsin. Weird. 3 a.m. It just cost us greatly. They're hoping we're too focused on the presidency to care about these other races. Look at, there it is, that weird little L that we've all grown very, very accustomed to. 3 a.m. on the 5th, meaning actually 3 a.m. the 6th, 3 a.m. suddenly in Wisconsin, there was a major ballot dump. And you remember then the others, it was Pennsylvania, they tried to do it, but Crowder was there. Everybody see that video, right? They were there. All these U-Haul trucks, these weird, unmarked U-Haul trucks show up. But they saw cameras and people were there, so they didn't do it. They didn't leave all their ballots there. This is what has to happen. Because we've never lost outside of a few states. We don't lose. We don't. You and I have been cheated now. And this sounds like just victimhood or something. That's perfect. I want that next. Victimhood, but it's not. You and I have been cheated. If you're a victim, you're actually a victim. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to be a victim, even though you're victimized. We're not going to be victims, but we've been victimized. You and I have been cheated for years. We thought we were losing elections. We honestly think that Colorado is a blue state. It's not. They're cheating over and over again. How does Trump win 7 out of 7 swing states? 7 out of 7 swing states. You're like, well, Tom, that just proves there is no cheating. No, it just proves that we mitigated the cheating this time. And we mitigated the cheating via early voting because they didn't know the amount of ballots that they needed to print. That's the thing, because they didn't know. They didn't know. So we mitigated it this time. Now we have to take these 4 years and really next 2 years and completely burn the cheating to the ground and pour salt on top of it. Remember these numbers. Put that one up for me, Aaron, the one you just found. So I just wanted you to remember this. I know I already played it on the podcast. You've probably already seen it on Twitter, but I wanted you to see it anyway. Everybody needs to understand the ridiculousness of what I'm showing you. Notice the state on the top. As a matter of fact, Brent, one more time, flip back to the old one. The previous slide right there. So there you saw there's the big cheat in Wisconsin. But Trump won Wisconsin. He should have won it by hundreds of thousands of votes. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Sorry about that. So this is why he didn't. In Wisconsin, you have 3,129,000 people registered to vote. But 3,240,000 people actually votes were counted. And what Democrats will say is the absolute nonsensical, incoherent phrase of, oh, it's just great voter turnout. You can't turn out unless you've registered. You can't register except for 30 days prior to the election. So you can't have great turnout that is more than registered voters. That makes absolutely no sense. That's like saying a football team won in the 5th quarter. Oh, it's just they played great in the 5th quarter. There is no 5th quarter. Oh, yeah. So here you go. Look at the states here. So Trump should have won by a mere, and we all know that the 111 extra thousand votes all went to Kamala Harris. Virginia, 4,159,000 people registered to vote, but 4,244,000 people actually voted. It's impossible. North Carolina, look at the same basic thing again. 200 extra thousand votes. Those are what we call, Aaron knows the term, that's what we call phantom voters.
Yep.
They're just made up ballots out of thin air. They could be using Brent 5 times, Aaron 5 times, me 5 times, combining our names for another 30 different times, another 30 different voters. You're like, Thomas, that's impossible. How do you check when there's no voter ID? There's no voter ID required in all the states. Aaron told me this. Every state that Kamala won, no voter ID is required at all. Not at all. Some states have requests. Some states have, like, you know, the state of Florida is actually under the request label, but you can't vote in the state of Florida without presenting your ID. It's not requested. You have to show it. But anyway, that's the only states that she won. So if you don't have voter ID requirements, then all you have to do is make up ballots. and mail them in. That's what COVID was all about, was getting rid of the man who was not globalist so they could set up vaccine passport infrastructure, which is infrastructure for CBDCs and social credit systems, i.e. the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13, 16, 17, 18, Revelation chapter 14, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Read it for yourself. Here you go. Here's Aaron's got it right here. States won by Kamala Harris. Oh, there you go. Okay, let me see. Is there any that say no? Okay.
Yeah. One. What, one is New Hampshire ID required, but not photo.
Okay.
So just what, one.
So I guess I can go just write down Tommy Lipley.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. There's my, there it is. Well, what kind of ID doesn't have a picture on it? Passport has an ID, DL has a state ID, military ID.
You can anything? Use somebody's library card, maybe.
Like,
you know?
Like a social security card doesn't prove who you are. It could, you could have gotten that from anywhere. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's the only states that she won. Amazing. So you want to see this? Let me show you this one. Go to the next one for me, Brett. So here's the numbers right here coming out of Arizona. And we didn't even cover all the other states that have more people voting than are registered to vote. Okay, it's impossible, folks. It's not great turnout. That's ridiculous. Makes no sense. So explain these numbers to anybody. Explain these numbers. And you're like, Tom, you're not a big Kari Lake fan. Certainly want her more than Nazi Ruben Gallego. Okay, I'm not a Kari Lake fan because of where she equivocated on abortion. But certainly like her, and I even think she is actually pro-life. She just had a bad moment. Oh, thank you, guys. That's great. Yeah, that's perfect right there if you guys can keep it that big. So Donald Trump easily won Arizona by 6 points. So he won Arizona by 6 points. So there you go. But somehow, Ruben Gallego is up by basically 2 points over Kari Lake. How is that remotely possible? And then notice that Ruben Gallego got more votes than Kamala.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you notice it? And Kari Lake got more votes than Kamala. Yeah. I mean, this is impossible. This cannot happen. The only time that a senatorial candidate in the state of Arizona has ever gotten more votes than the presidential candidate has been, and either candidate, has been John McCain when he ran it, when there was a Republican on the ticket. That's it. That's it. So well, there's always a Republican on the ticket. But I mean, that was the only time anybody's ever done it was John McCain got more votes than I believe the Republican on the ticket because there's Democrats that voted for him. Because John McCain is a globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist snob. That's who John McCain was. Always has been, always will be. I know he's not alive anymore. I get it. But he still is as he burns in hell for all of eternity right now. But anyway, so it's impossible. I mean, Ruben Gallego got more votes than everybody but Trump. So is this another case? Well, remember now, what were the stats coming out of Arizona that we've covered ad nauseum here? They had, starting off with 435,000 phantom voters, somehow lowered down to 218. And the Secretary of State of the state of Arizona said, I don't know who any of these 218,000 people are until he was forced under oath. And then, I mean, till he was forced by the judge after he lied under oath to release all the names after he said he didn't know who these people were. But then he was forced to release all the people that he didn't know who they were, right? They had 218,000 people that were somehow registered via their DMV without ever having to prove United States citizenship. So they have all the, and again, this all comes down to, this is what the border invasion's all about, is the Democrats being able to say, we're not registering illegals. No, what you do is you bring them across the border, give them a Social Security card, which enables them to get a driver's license, which enables them to vote. Social Security card is enough to vote in Texas all by itself. So all the people coming through Eagle Pass, Shelby Park, Texas, or the Rio Grande Valley, all those people running through there, they all got a Social Security card, and all you need is the last four to vote in the state of Texas, right? So the Democrats say, we're not registering illegals to vote. And we get like Dana Bash, they'll scoff at you, they'll roll out. Nobody's doing that. And by the way, it's already illegal for illegals to vote. Then why are so many of them registered to vote, Dana? The woman whose ex-husband was the one who orchestrated the entire 51 former intel chiefs saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Remember all that? Oh, they're all tied together. So what you're seeing right here is absolutely impossible. and they had to acknowledge having 218,000 phantom voters. In other words, again, anybody they want to make up, they just fill out a card. There's no ID required. They can do whatever they want. You can do whatever they want. So they just go, you know what? Hey, Ruby Freeman. Hey, Shay Moss. We need, you know, we need 50,000. We're down by 50,000. We need 50,000. Pull them out of our bank of phantom voters. So that's how we've been, quote unquote, losing all these elections. It's all fraud. This is fraud. It's impossible that this happens. Impossible that Ruben Gallego has more votes than Kamala Harris. It's absolutely impossible, but somehow he did. So more people decided to vote for Ruben Gallego than Kamala Harris. And believe it or not, Ruben Gallego is even left of Kamala. Believe it or not. All right, let's go. We'll go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to give you an update.
Update. Bleep.
Yep. From Decision Desk, we are now at 219 Republicans in the House.
All right, we officially own the House now. Yep. There we go. That's good. I think we got 218 earlier today, right? So it's already official. I saw that. So we got 219. I think we're scheduled to get it to 221, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the next thing. This is absolutely horrific. This is a Holocaust. Tom, how dare you say that? I'm saying it. I just said it. I'm not walking it back at all. It's a Holocaust. Sudden and unexpected. The prestigious Cleveland Clinic. Pull up Cleveland Clinic. Not you, Aaron. Pull up Cleveland Clinic. This is no right-wing organization or anything like that, but has issued a chilling warning of an incoming wave of deaths that will kill off huge numbers of people who receive the COVID mRNA vaccinations. Yeah, but Tom, that's over. People are getting vaccinated in 2021 and then, of course, 2022 and then there's fifth and sixth vaccination in 2023. And now, according to Mandy Cohen, who vaccinates her own small children, up to 10 vaccinations each. Joe Biden, we know confirmed for sure, has been vaccinated six times and has gotten COVID three or four times. And obviously his cognitive degeneration sped up after the vaccination. But anyway, and from what I'm hearing, Peter McAuliffe is calling on the Trump administration to take the COVID vaccinations off the shelf. And that if Donald Trump wants to be really successful, that's what he's got to do. He's got to do it, even though he's run on, man, we got warp speed. We got these vaccinations out in record time. He screwed up. Listen, I'm no Trump acolyte. I voted for Trump three times. I love Trump. He's my favorite president of all time. But listen, he's a human being, and he screwed that up. Bad. He screwed up the COVID response bad for about 60 days, and then he straightened it up. But anyway, the Cleveland Clinic has come out. You know, again, people are saying, wait a minute, listen, nobody knows how long these things are. They're the people who are treating vax injured people. You don't hear about it because we have no media and it's very private, but the people who are treating these people, the McAuliffe's of the world, the Ryan Cole's of the world, Simone Gold's of the world, people like that are actually treating these vax injured people. And we know there's been 35 to 36 million excess deaths since the vaccine rollout in January of 2021. We know that worldwide via the actuary, a society of actuaries, life insurance companies, which are left leaning, by the way. And still have to acknowledge, strangely, and they all sit around with their thumbs up their butts saying, we just don't know why. Why did all these excess deaths start in 2021? Exactly, really, January of 2020. Why did they all start then? They all stand around and act like they don't know. There's, 35 million excess deaths that we know about. By the way, that's only people with life insurance. Let's do a little guesswork here, shall we? How many people do you think around the world actually have life insurance? Hardly any, statistically speaking, out of the 8 billion that live here. Maybe a billion have life insurance. Maybe 500 million have life insurance. Hardly anybody does. So that's the ones that we actually know about. So that's why this information is coming out. The people who are treating vax-injured people, what they are seeing is that these are long-term problems that don't appear to be going away. Long-term issues that do not appear to be going away. However, you know, they've just using S-spike proteins as an example, nanolipid particles as an example. They're not going away. They're not deteriorating. They're still sitting in the body. And the body, because it is a gene-altering drug, continues to produce that which is harming people because it's been genetically modified to produce S-spike proteins. You know what you don't want in your body? Aaron, can you guess?
S-spike protein.
Yeah, there you go. Just like if you want to say, who's funding the worst calamities around the globe? You always know who it is. It'd be BlackRock.
Yeah.
However, rather than issuing the Cleveland Clinic, rather than issuing a red alert to the public about the looming catastrophic death wave, the Ohio-based nonprofit academic medical center quickly dropped the bombshell in a recent update on its website. Challenge me. Go right ahead and go to the website. According to Cleveland Clinic, mass mortality is expected to surge due to a ticking time bomb called, can we all guess it? Myocarditis amongst the vax, the COVID vax, COVID vaccinated. And by the way, and again, this is, it's all, everything is such a freaking lie that you hear. Whether it's Fauci, Mandy Cohen, Rochelle Walensky. Oh yeah, you know, some people did get myocarditis. Okay, that's basically a death sentence. You have a 20% chance once you're diagnosed with myocarditis of being alive in 5 years. 80% chance of being dead in 5 years. And they act like, well, you know, they act like, well, you, 5 years is a lifetime. Not when you're 17. And by the way, for anybody, I don't care if you're 90 and you're only told you got 5 years to go. You might have, according to the Bible, you got 30 years to go to 120, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Every one of us is supposed to live to 120. Stop thinking you're old if you're 87 right now, or if you're 57, or if you're 68, whatever it may be. You're not old. Please read your Bible. Believe the truth instead of these lies. Everything you hear coming out of Washington, D.C. is a bold-faced lie. Myocarditis was treated as some sort of minor side effect. It's a freaking death sentence 80% of the time. That's why you're seeing these numbers come out. Quietly. Quietly. All right, go to the next one, Brett. So look at this one. At a Muse tweet. I just wanted to show you this. It's sort of off topic, but it's obviously Fauci. It's all about COVID. Outrage. Would you be shocked to learn that you and I are footing a $20,000 daily bill? Aaron, what do you think about that? $20,000 a day. $20,000 a day.
Wow.
Can you imagine living a life where anything's being funded for you for $20,000? I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm sure that's Donald Trump has that. I mean, I have no, Elon Musk, people like that. You know, I have no problem with that. But Donald Trump pays for it himself, and so does Elon Musk. But you and I are paying for the Fauci. What's the Fauci ever done for you? Fauci has been in the government. You're like, he's retired. He's not really retired, by the way. He's still like more, he's pseudo-retired. But has a absolutely huge retirement, has a huge retirement pay. Fauci has been in government since 1980, and has never, what has he accomplished? Let's just like I asked earlier, name one racist thing Donald Trump has ever said. Name one xenophobic thing Trump's ever said. Name one racist legislative initiative he's ever tried, or xenophobic, or transphobic, anti-woman, whatever. Name them all, please. Name them. Show me any statements. You can't. Well, just like with Fauci. He's in charge of the NIAID for decades. What has he ever done? I mean, you ever ask, what do these people ever do? I mean, what disease has he ever cured? What disease has he ever, let's just say, successfully treated? Would you be shocked to learn that you're footing a $20,000 daily bill for Dr. Fauci's personal chauffeur and security detail? Over the last 2 years, American taxpayers have shelled out a whopping $15 million to maintain the lifestyle to which the good doctor has grown quite accustomed. Fauci's net worth sits comfortably at $11 million. He can't foot his own security. Everybody remembers what $1 million is, right? $1,000, so he can't foot his own security. And not only is he already worth $11 million, which Aaron and I have it at $14 million, but not only is he worth $11 million, he was once, as you keep reading, the highest paid government official at $480,000 a year. So not only is he worth $11 million, he's basically every year 11.5, then 12, 12.5, 13. Because everything, I mean, you're like, Tom, no, everybody's got expenses. It's already long since paid off. If you're worth $11 million, everything's paid off. You're not making any payments. So all of his salary stacks on top of the $11 million that he's already worth. So every year he adds $0.5 million to it. So he's worth umpteen millions. In retirement, though, so he went. Look at this horrible retirement pay. So he's $480,000 a year as the head of the NIAID. In retirement, he gets a mere $350,000 a year, and we're still paying for his security. Annually, a figure that surpassed. But remember, RFK Jr., whose dad was assassinated, his uncle was assassinated, his nephew disappeared weirdly in a plane. He doesn't get secret security protection at all. But the Fauci does. Donald Trump's Secret Service protection gets turned down every time they ask for an increase in money, increase in personnel, increase in technology, they get turned down. But not the Fauci. Not the Fauci. You and I are shelling out 20 grand a day, $15 million over the last 2 years for Anthony Fauci to have personal security and a chauffeur. A figure that surpasses most working American salaries, that's his retirement. Well, not most people. The average household combined income is under $50,000 a year. He makes seven times that himself. And his wife still owns her position as the ethics director of the NIH. Or is it the CDC? Can't remember, but one of the two. She's who approved the ethics of the vaccine, strangely, the one that Anthony Fauci pimped and whored himself. And as a part of that vaccine development, remember the next sentence. He's also pocketed undisclosed royalties from 37 drug patents. Remember, Moderna and the NIH. Anthony Fauci works for the NIAID, which is a subsidiary of the NIH, which is the department of the NIH. Moderna and the NIH share scientists and patents and royalties, and Anthony Fauci, under oath, refused to answer the question of how much in royalties he and his cohorts at the NIH had received in their partnership with Moderna. Weird, isn't it? He's also pocketed undisclosed royalties, which is the very definition of fascism, is the merging of corporations and government. He's also pocketed undisclosed royalties from 37 drug patents, and let's not overlook the nearly $1 million awarded him from the Dan David Foundation. So, but he can't pay for his own security. So we're looking now, the man's worth somewhere between $10 and $30 million, and we have to pay for his security? Why? Why? I mean, who's after Fauci anyway? Nobody's after Fauci. So anyway, that I just had to see that. And somebody put out, it was John Cordillo put out day one, this needs to be axed. Absolutely. He can pay for his own. Do you know that Donald Trump right now is paying for his own transition for the Trump-Vance transition right now? He's paying for it himself. He's paying for it himself because he doesn't want to intermingle with the deep state swamp up there and get everybody's opinions. So he's doing it himself. I have to show you this one. Vigilant Fox video. Report, Big Pharma is officially freaking out over the Trump-Kennedy plan to purge big interests from the federal health agencies. Play it for me.
VigilantNews.com reports that top five Big Pharma CEOs hold an emergency meeting after Trump's landslide victory. In conjunction with Gateway Pundit, after former President Trump's massive election victory, the top executives of Big Pharma were reportedly scrambling to protect their influence over U.S. healthcare. Sources indicate that the heads of the five major pharmaceutical companies, definitely not a cartel except they all meet together, held an emergency teleconference on Wednesday to address the potential fallout from a Trump administration that has vowed to disrupt Big Pharma's hold on America. Goes on to explain that New Jersey Assemblyman and advisor to Robert Kennedy Jr., Jamal Hawley, shared the breaking news on X on Wednesday, stating, "Sources tell me top five CEOs of pharmaceutical companies are holding an emergency teleconference at 1 p.m. A lawyer has confirmed that everyone is in a state of panic." And the problem...
Even though, and he hasn't said it for a while, it was a very smart move on Donald Trump's part. He was very proud of his vaccine development, Operation Warp Speed. And he, like I said, Donald Trump seems to have walked that back now. He's not talking about it, which got him elected, by the way. But so what he needs to do, hopefully he has the right people in his ear now. And if the rumors are correct that Peter McCullough has advised the Trump administration to pull the COVID-19 jabs off the shelf, hopefully that's true. Hopefully Donald Trump listens to them. And the big five pharma companies are meeting together. Look at here. The top executives of Big Pharma were reportedly scrambling to protect their influence over U.S. healthcare. Again, leave this up for me. Here's the thing. It is fascism. Fascism has nothing to do with racism. Nothing. Even though none of us are racist and they call us fascist. The fascists are calling you fascist when you have the FBI and the Department of State meeting with Facebook to take down conservative media posts, meeting with YouTube, meeting with Google to take down conservative media posts. That is fascism. That is the merging of governance and corporatism. And they are scrambling now because that is a threat. The big five pharma companies are threatened now. They're basically, the NIH is indiscernible from Moderna. Moderna was bankrupt before this, and here comes right in the nick of time. You're just about to go out of business. You're about to issue pink slips, but lo and behold, a weird little cold that everyone's going to pretend is 99.9% unsurvivable when it's 99.997% survivable. Everyone's going to pretend like it's the bubonic plague when it's nothing but a runny nose. Everybody jumps on board that and saves Moderna because Washington, D.C., the swamp is fascist while they call you fascist. They are merged with companies. This is not the old Republican Party, folks, when we're sitting here going, corporations are great, no taxes for the rich, no, tax the crap out of these corporations. Tax the crap out of them. They're all leftists. You can't come up with a right-wing global corporation. I'm sure there's some. Now you can designate Elon Musk that way, and I know there's exceptions to that rule, but most of these companies are left-wing, bourgeois, globalist, elitist, left of Stalin companies. That's who they are. And they publicly endorse, whether it's Coca-Cola or anybody else you want to name, publicly endorse the leftist candidate in every election. Sources indicate that the heads of the five major pharmaceutical companies held an emergency teleconference on Wednesday, the day Trump was elected, to address the potential fallout from a Trump. Well, there shouldn't be any fallout. Why would there be any fallout? If you're not fascist and you're not connected to the government, then why would there be any fallout when Trump gets elected? Because Trump has already juiced the economy. I wrote a list of things. Aaron, if you think of any more, let me know. Brent, you think of any, let me know.
Yeah.
Since Trump has taken office, well, he hasn't taken office yet, but since he was elected, Hamas wants peace. The Houthis want peace. Putin wants peace. Ukraine wants peace. And this is a new one. Venezuela wants to normalize relations. The stock market is up. Ursula von der Leyen of the European Union now wants LNG to come from the United States instead of Russia. All in what? He hasn't even been the president-elect for a week. Go, Aaron.
China also wants to normalize relations.
That's right. Yeah. I knew that's a big one. Yep. Yeah, that's my list here. China. Give me some Trump China, Aaron.
China wants to be peaceful right now.
This is huge. Our number one geopolitical threat now wants to normalize relations. What? Why didn't that happen over the last 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve? Why didn't that happen under the Biden administration? What happened exactly? I don't get it. Oh, Trump was elected. He's not even in office. He's not even in power and everybody's running to him. He spends all day at Mar-a-Lago talking to these people on the phone as they come and kowtow to them. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Alec Lace? Is that where I'm at, Will?
Yep.
I mean, not Will. Brent, is that where I'm at?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. All right, Alec Lace's video. Breaking, huge win for parents. Trump will ban transgender surgeries for minors in all 50 states. Play it for me.
Here's my plan to stop the chemical, physical, and emotional mutilation of our youth. On day one, I will revoke Joe Biden's cruel policies on so-called gender-affirming care. Ridiculous. A process that includes giving kids puberty blockers, mutating their physical appearance, and ultimately performing surgery on minor children. Can you believe this? I will sign a new executive order instructing every federal agency to cease all programs that promote the concept of sex and gender transition at any age. I will then ask Congress to permanently stop federal taxpayer dollars from being used to promote or pay for these procedures and pass a law prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states. It'll go very quickly. I will declare that any hospital or healthcare provider that participates in the chemical or physical mutilation of minor youth will no longer meet federal health and safety standards for Medicaid and Medicare, and will be terminated from the program immediately. Furthermore, I will support the creation of a private right of action for victims to sue doctors who have unforgivably performed these procedures on minor children. The Department of Justice will investigate Big Pharma and the big hospital networks to determine whether they have deliberately covered up horrific long-term side effects of sex transitions in order to get rich at the expense of vulnerable patients, in this case, very vulnerable. We will also investigate whether Big Pharma or others have illegally marketed hormones and puberty blockers, which are in no way licensed or approved for this use. My Department of Education will inform states and school districts that if any teacher or school official suggests to a child that they could be trapped in the wrong body, They will be faced with severe consequences, including potential civil rights violations for sex discrimination and the elimination of federal funding. As part of our new credentialing body for teachers, we will promote positive education about the nuclear family, the roles of mothers and fathers, and celebrating rather than erasing the things that make men and women different and unique. I will ask Congress to pass a bill establishing that the only genders recognized by the United States government are male and female, and they are assigned at birth. The bill will also make clear that Title IX prohibits men from participating in women's sports, and we will protect the rights of parents from being forced to allow their minor child to assume a gender which is new and an identity without the parents' consent. The identity will not be new, and it will not be without parental consent. No serious country should be telling its children that they were born with the wrong gender, a concept that was never heard of in all of human history. Nobody's ever heard of this, what's happening today. It was all when the radical left invented it just a few years ago. Under my leadership, this madness will end. Thank you very much.
It sums it up right there with his last words. Under his leadership, this madness will end. No more transgender surgeries for 12-year-olds that they were brainwashed into either by their convoluted, mentally insane parents or school administrators, school boards, or some psychologists. No more men's playing in women's sports. Why do we even have to have this discussion? It's amazing that 4 years ago when we started this podcast, you didn't have to have the discussion. Now you do. No more giving kids Lupron to suppress suppress puberty. And of course, so no more transgender surgeries for minors. And no more government paid for transgender surgeries for anybody. Why would we ever pay for either a child to have their breasts, testicles, or penises lopped off? And then they all go back and they regret it anyway. Or why would we pay for, like Kamala Harris wanted, illegal migrants to have their penises lopped off, or for a inmate at a federal prison to have their penises lopped off? Why is this even a discussion? But sadly it is, and the president-elect had to come out and say, we're not doing this madness anymore. We're not funding this madness anymore. There's two sexes. Why do we even need to say it? That's like saying, you have to have oxygen to live. Oh, wow. That's stunning knowledge. No, there's always only, you've always needed oxygen. There's only ever been two sexes. All right, Riley Gaines video. Let me show you this. If you listen to the leftard in this video, this is why they lost the election. Play for me, Brent.
There are a lot of families out there who don't believe boys should play girls' sports.
They're not boys. I'm not going to listen to transphobia at this table.
This is a really heated issue, right? And Sharmichael, I know you. I know that you understand that people have different views on this. I think out of respect for Jay, like, let's try to talk about this in a way that is respectful.
Okay, so let me rephrase this since I'm being targeted here.
I'm specifically saying that I know that you are not intending to be transphobic.
He should know that I want to give you an opportunity to rephrase that.
There's no consensus that these are actually boys. This whole thing about trans girls is a canard. We're talking about a tiny, tiny sliver of the population.
That may be the case. My point in terms of its effectiveness, regular people with children look at these things and they say, you know what, this is a bit too far. I do not agree with this. I don't like this. I think Democrats are going way too much to the left on social issues. They're uncomfortable with it. A lot of people believe that. A lot of families believe that. You may disagree with that reality, but that's why Republicans kept running those ads over and over and over again. because they saw the metrics suggested
and
that
lying
they were working
in those ads over and over again and using rhetoric like you just used, saying this is boys playing girls sports.
But what,
first
okay,
of all, we're talking
the,
about five
language?
People in the
what's
entire
the language
country.
You would prefer?
We're talking about trans girls playing, being allowed to play with the people who are in their gender. And if you don't believe, you don't have to listen to me. Listen okay. to the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association.
But this is not about the issue.
So there you go. So just, I mean, that's why they lose. And by the way, of course, this is after the election. They're not learning anything. And you know what? I'm glad. Keep not learning. That's Jay Michelson right there. Ultimate cuckboy. That is it right there. That is the embodiment of cuckboy. His little circular, stupid glasses that he thinks makes him look smart. and none of what he espouses ever touches his life. It's just like whether you're Letitia James or Kathy Hochul and you're trying to take away Cori Bush, trying to take everybody's guns away, right? You're always trying to take away guns, but you always have them. His transgender policies never touch him. He doesn't have to worry about some guy pretending to be a woman hurting him. He doesn't have to worry about it. So he can stand on high, just like spending other people's money. He can stand on high, and he gets to be Mr. Virtue. I just accept everything. It's very easy to accept everything when everything doesn't touch you ever. He doesn't have to worry about a volleyball being rocketed off of his face from a full-grown man, and the volleyball gets rocketed off of the face of a 16-year-old girl. He doesn't have to worry about that. He doesn't. So he can go. He can be on high, and it's what the left. That's really what the left is all about. They since it never, none of their policies ever affect their life. None of it ever bothers them. Crime doesn't bother them. They're living in gated communities, behind walls and guns and personal security. They don't have to worry about it. So they can stand on high and be like, "We forgive all the felons. Let them all out because they're not victimized by them." If they were, it all would change. If his transgender policies actually cost him money, not just personal health, but money, he would change. So then he says, you know, the more conservative pundit on there, he's told to speak in a respectful way. Respectful, because this guy, you know, Jay Michelson, I'm not going to listen to transphobic speech. Okay, so again, this is the left who banned speech, claiming that Donald Trump is going to ban speech. Who weaponized the DOJ, who claimed that Donald Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ. And here's a guy who won't let somebody speak because he wants to, because he doesn't like what he's going to hear, so he's going to ban his speech. And all that he said, and then the conservative host is commanded to be respectful. And what did he say that was disrespectful? All he simply said was, I don't want men playing in women's sports. Aaron and I right now, in 5 minutes, could produce 300 pictures of men full-blown, fully penis men playing in women's sports.
Yeah.
We have the Olympics. Aman Khalif, fully penis man, knocking the living crap out of women. We have it. We now have women athletes that are refusing to participate. Forfeiting matches, forfeiting swim meets. And this guy, since it doesn't affect him, he doesn't lose the scholarship because if this isn't stopped, there will be no more women's sports. You won't keep your job as a, just say, college basketball, women's college basketball coach. How are you going to keep your job when you have all biological females on your team playing against 6'6" men who are identifying as females? How are you going to keep your job? So eventually everybody will recruit. It'll be the biggest national initiative to recruit only trans men to play on female teams. Because you'll lose without it. And by the way, let me make an announcement. I didn't make 10-10. I'm 6 over. And I still got to do the Senate. So I'm going to go a little over. So being respectful means that you're going to lie. That's respectful on CNN. I'm going to say a man dressing up as a woman is a man, is actually a woman. And then this idiot right here, Jay Michelson, he says there's no consensus that men dressing up as women aren't women. Do they have dangles? Then they're men. That's the way that it is. And then he said that all the ads that Donald Trump put out saying that these men dressing up as women were actually men were lies because there's no consensus that these are actually boys. They're boys. You know why they're boys? They're boys. That's why they're boys. All right, let's go to the next one. Thank you. I forgot about that one. Let's have to throw this out here. A lot of people, you've seen this kid, right? This is the trans hero. The trans hero. Maybe there's some TV show. I don't know. Maybe there's a TV show on. I don't know. But here's this national trans hero right here. This young boy has been permanently chemically castrated. And I thought that we didn't know whether it was permanent or not. Oh, we don't know whether Lupron permanently castrated, even though Lupron is used to chemically castrate pedophiles in federal prisons. Oh, but this kid took Lupron and now he's permanently chemically castrated. But they said that puberty blockers can be reversed. Those are all lies. Just like they pretended that myocarditis was just a minor side effect when it's 80% deadly. And was used by National Geographic as their poster child for transgenderism. He's now 17 and has decided that he doesn't want to be a girl. You know, that's what always happens. Guess what? You're a little different. Aaron, this is going to shock you. Brent, this is going to shock you. But you know, you kind of change from 11 to 17. You know what's you know what happens? Puberty. And you actually grow up and you actually start thinking for yourself. And I would love, his parents need to be arrested if they push this. He's now 17 and has decided that he doesn't want to be a girl anymore and states the transgender activist ruined his life, disturbing. Dr. Phil recently did a show about him and many others in the same boat. These people are victims. It's a sad thing, and there's no going back for this kid. All right, this is the entertainment section of the show. I'm going to entertain myself at the detriment of Kamala Harris. Gunther Eagleman video, Jesse Waters ended Kamala Harris's career last night. How did they spend Kamala Harris's campaign? $1 billion. They spent $1 billion. That's $1,000 million on a campaign. And now they're $20 million in debt. Let's look at what they spent it on. Play for me, Brent.
We learned two things about Kamala this election. She's good at raising money and she's good at blowing it. But money can't buy you elections, especially when you spend it like she did. She raked in more than $1 billion and is somehow now in debt. The Washington Examiner dug through her financial statements and gave us a good clue why. Kamala's campaign was getting whacked like a pinata while D.C. leeches hoovered up all the cash. She spent over $50 million on payroll. Trump's campaign spent less than 10. Another $12 million went to consultants and $20 million went to their little concerts with Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Christina Aguilera, Jon Bon Jovi. Remember him? They even had to cancel a performance by Alanis Morissette because they were running low on cash. Isn't that ironic? Campaign insiders are mad at the bosses for wasting donor money on concerts instead of ads about, you know, the economy. Quote, they said they were spending to zero. I guess they overshot zero. Ads would have gone a lot further than the pricey celebrity endorsements. One campaign source said people were concerned about their own financial issues, not Oprah telling them America won't exist. But it worked out nicely for Oprah. She got her friend Kamala to pay her $1 million to interview her in September. $1 million. Now, if she thought she was saving democracy, she should have done it for free. Kamala scared donors by calling Trump a dictator, got $1 billion, then just gave it to her friends and blew the rest on being a diva. Kamala went on a podcast, remember Call Her Daddy? But she didn't want to go to their studio in L.A. So she made the host fly to D.C. and used campaign cash to build a fake set in a hotel room. She spent more than $100,000 to build it. That set. See it? Two chairs, a coffee table, and a bookshelf. That's six figures. Now, we looked at the set. We probably could have done it for around $6,000. That's without labor. But where'd the rest of the money go? We don't know. So she's still trying to soak folks for cash. 24 hours after the election, on Wednesday, Democrats got a text from the campaign. Urgent. We need help. Donate now. Help with what? You lost. If this is how she's going to spend her donors' dollars, imagine what she would have done with our taxes.
Okay, so on this, Brent, go right to the next one for me. American AF tweet the Harris campaign paid Megan Thee Stallion $5 million. If all these people were so fervent for Kamala, for so passionate for Kamala, why did they do it for free? Megan Thee Stallion's already a multi-millionaire. Why wouldn't you just, I mean, wouldn't you do it for free if you really believed in her platform, you believed in her as a candidate? Well, I mean, she pays Oprah $1 million for that, for that interview. I thought Oprah really believed in it. She had a Yes You Can t-shirt, Yes She Can t-shirt on. Because they're all freaking frauds. Megan Thee Stallion's a fraud. Oprah's a fraud. They all espouse socialism when they're all hyper-capitalists. And they actually have to be paid to support their candidate of choice. You know what I get paid to support Donald Trump? Nothing. I don't want anything. I wouldn't, even if I was, say I was Steven Crowder or Bongino, a huge name. Say I was a huge political pundit name. Say I was. Dan Bongino's never gotten paid to interview Donald Trump. Dan Bongino today on his show had 200,000 people watching him live. He never got paid to have Donald Trump on. Because Dan Bongino believes in Donald Trump. Same with all the people, whether it's Tucker or anything else. Tucker doesn't get paid to interview Trump. Bongino doesn't get paid to interview Trump. But the Democrats actually have to pay their surrogates. Unbelievable. Megan Thee Stallion, $5 million. And she was on stage for, what, 20 minutes? $5 million. Unbelievable. Oprah, $1 million. I thought Oprah really believed in her. Why would she have to get paid? And by the way, Oprah's a billionaire. Why would she have to get paid? These people are such frauds. Aaron and I were talking about it. When you're watching that video where Kamala comes up and hugs Oprah there, if you look at the look on Oprah's face, she's like, I hate this woman. I'm going to hug her anyway. They're such frauds. $12 million for consultants. Those are great consultants you paid for right there. $12 million. $20 million they spent on concerts. What did I tell you on this podcast? Didn't I say it, Aaron?
Yep.
They're out of money.
Yep.
And they can't. That's why she's not doing any big venue rallies anymore, because they're busing the people in. They're paying for the people in the audience, and they're paying for the performers. Eventually, you'll blow through $1 billion, which they did, and they're $20 million in debt. Call her daddy's studio. She, again, like Rogan, Rogan's on right now talking about why the Kamala Harris interview didn't work out, because they put all these stipulations on it. They 1 hour, you don't do Rogan for 1 hour. You go on Rogan, it's 3 freaking hours. And you talk about anything and everything. Just like Vance did, just like Trump did. But Tampon Timmy wouldn't do it, and Kamala wouldn't do it. Why? Because they can't. Because they're fake people. And in 3 hours, you're going to be revealed. So she refused to go on the number one podcast on the freaking planet, exposing herself to millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people. Refuses to go on it. But she does go on Call Her Daddy. And she refused to go to, just like she did with Rogan, she refused to go to, who refuses to go to Joe Rogan? That's like going to Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what, I refuse to go to the Tonight Show, but I want the Tonight Show to come to me. She refused to go to Rogan and asked Rogan to go to her and do a 1 hour interview with her. He, of course, turned it down because he's got a brain. Call Her Daddy, which doesn't have a brain, which is just a whore institute. Call Her Daddy goes to her, but so they fly the Call Her Daddy. I don't even know this, but I never heard of it until this. Call Her Daddy host. They fly that host out, pay for all of her first class, whatever, accommodations, flights, hotels, everything else. And her staff, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then build a $100,000 studio. See the picture of that studio? I know lots of people who build lots of things. My friends in construction could build that studio for $1,500. I'm telling you right now. It reminds me of Barack Hussein Obama's Obamacare website that they spent hundreds of millions of dollars on. Oh, yeah. Hundreds of millions of dollars for a website. Aaron, what's the website cost? I mean, yeah, a good website.
What really good cost? Website, couple thousand.
Couple grand. Yeah. Let's say at most 5,000, yeah, right? $5,000 to build a really good website. Obama's got millions, tens of millions in Obamacare website, and it crashed in 4 minutes. So this studio, that right there, cost $100,000 to build. $100,000. You give the guys that I know $1,500 and we'll go to one of those... what do you call them? Those Salvation Army stores or whatever they call Goodwill stores. Goodwill. Get those chairs. We could build this whole studio for $1,500 to $2,000. $100,000 to her campaign to build that. I mean, you're like, yeah, but there's like electronic equipment. Listen, folks, we have all that here. Everything in here doesn't cost $100,000 either.
No.
Give me a break. The biggest, most expensive thing in this room is the camera that I'm looking at right now, and it was $15,000. So there you go. Just had to throw that out there for you. Now, here's the comparison. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Here it is. The difference between a businessman and a career politician in one picture. One succeeded with the bare minimum, and the other one blew through every dollar and lost everything. And I don't know if it's Brent or whether it's Aaron. One of them was talking over there. Thank goodness they didn't win. Thank goodness they didn't win, because this is how they treat our taxpayer dollars. Harris campaign raised $1 billion, spent $1.37 billion, spent $582 million on staff. That can't be right. That's not right. That's not a, that's not correct. But no, I have it right here. 50 million on payroll. It couldn't be. I mean, it says staff. Payroll is 50 million. It can't be. But anyway, so the other side, Trump raised 381 million. That's all Trump raised. He raised one third of what she raised. Spent 40 million less than what he raised. Spent 10.4 million on staff. In comparison, she says 582 million on staff. There you go. Because they're probably calling everybody that they paid to come to those rallies, staff, for campaign finance expenditures, so that they don't end up on the wrong end of Judge Mershon for campaign finance violations, right? All right, so I got to do this, which caused me to go way over time. Let's look at the Senate stuff. Big, big, big freaking deal. We cannot have John Cornyn. We cannot have John Thune as our majority leader in the Senate. That is like having Hitler run the Jewish Community Center. That's like having pedophiles running a kindergarten class. They are anti-Trump leftists. You're like, Tom, they're Republicans and say Republican things. That's so they can occupy chairs that are meant to be conservatives. They go back, they run as conservatives. They tell everybody that they're conservative because, listen, if you're in Texas, Thune, which one is he, Aaron? Is he North Dakota or South Dakota? Check that
Thune
out.
Thune is North.
I think he's South Dakota. But anyway, just check it for me. But anyway, Cornyn, when you're Texas, you're a senator out of Texas.
South.
That is a Republican position. When you are a senator out of Christie Nome, South Dakota, that's a Republican position. But what the Democrats do is get people like Thune and Cornyn. Listen, folks, I'm not saying they're pretending to be Republicans. I'm saying they're actually Democrats. I'm not saying they're rhinos. I'm not saying they're weak Republicans. I'm telling you flat out they're globalists, leftists, bourgeois elitists, members of the DNC who just voted for Kamala Harris. Both of them. I'm telling you it's true because it is. And what the Democratic Party does, see, we don't do this stuff because you and I couldn't live with ourselves. We couldn't pretend to be Democrats. We couldn't stand to be in that environment. It would make our skin crawl. But no, Democrats can do it. And that's what Thune and Cornyn are. They're Democrats. And when we have designated seats that will always be Republican, what Democrats do, like they did with Ben Sasse, like Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney has a Senate seat from Utah. We'll always have both those seats. But one of them is occupied by a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who personally profits off of the Ukrainian war. So let's make this clear, says Alex, to the Senate that we elected Donald Trump and therefore the majority leader should be someone who voters feel will help him get his agenda done. That's what the United States looks like. That's 2024. That's the 2024 election map. That's it. That's what the United States looks like. We're a red country, folks. We are a red country. We need to have a red Senate majority leader. Go to the next one for me. Brent, Citizen Free Press video. Here's Rick Scott on Fox and Friends. Play it for me.
It's you against Senator Cornyn, against Senator Thune. Why are you the best choice?
Well, first, happy Veterans Day. I was very proud of my father, one of 3,000 people that did all the combat jumps with A2 Airborne in the Second World War. He told me the Germans, the foxholes, the food were bad, so I joined the Navy. I'm very proud that J.D. is the first Marine enlisted, like I did, enlisted in the Marines, is the first Marine vice president-elect in the United States. And I've got colleagues. So first, I want to thank everybody for their service. Thank God for people willing to put on the uniform. With regard to the Trump nominees, we got to get them done. Whatever it takes. If it's recess appointments, whatever it takes, we got to get these done. We know Schumer's going to slow everything down. I am all on board. We've got to change the direction of this country. The country voted. They want a change. They want the Trump agenda.
All right, now you just heard the Quinn. It goes on a little bit longer. I'm trying. I'm at 10:31. I said I'd be done 21 minutes ago. Not doing good. But anyway, he just said the quintessential phrase. I am what? All on board. Has Cornyn said that? No. Has Thune said that? No. Benny Johnson video, Rick Scott. And listen, is Rick Scott perfect? No, he's not. He's not perfect, but his liberty rating is 86%. I'll show you Cornyn's in just a minute. I think it's 54%. So Benny Johnson video, Republican senators are reportedly feeling bullied because their true alliances to the DC machine were exposed. Play it for me.
Option in John Thune, a man who said that Donald Trump should drop out of the race. The tweet's still up. I have it right here in front of me. John Thune also memorializing January 6th. I have the tweet in front of me here. John Thune said, my statement on the anniversary of January 6th, 2021 Capitol riot. He pushed literal Democrat hoaxes against Donald Trump. He said he hopes that Donald Trump doesn't run again. They shared stories calling the MAGA movement a cancer on the Republican Party. And these are our two options? What exactly the hell is going on here in the United States Senate, Steve? It is a despicable insult to the American people that they are that senators are considering voting for either John Thune or John Cornyn. But most importantly, they're doing it in the dark of night, in the cloak of secrecy. And they're upset that we were able to hunt down the actual whip count. I spent all weekend calling. I said, there's no way we're going to go out without a fight here. I spent all weekend because I know how Washington, D.C. runs, Steve. I worked there for 15 years. I worked on Capitol Hill. I've seen the government up close. I've seen these McConnell Republicans up close. And I know you have too. And I said, I'm not going to, if I can report out who's voting where, then we'll show the American people where the actual loyalty is. And it certainly is not to President Trump. It's to their own power. And you'll see some shocking names like Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Marsha Blackburn on the list voting against Tim Scott. And the reason why this is important is because, and as I have found in my reporting, Steve, it's not about voting for what your constituents want. It's about voting for your own power.
Again, these videos go longer. We can go to Benny Johnson. I'm just trying to cut some of them short because it's already 10:34. And again, I'm supposed to be off at 10:10. But anyway, and by my own timing. So now listen, John Kennedy, who, let's see, can you both, I got it better on here.
He's on Cornyn.
He's on Cornyn's list.
Yeah, under Hyde Smith.
Oh, yeah. So John Kennedy under Cornyn here says that this list is absolute fallacy. That's what he says. John Kennedy. And you're like, John Kennedy does such great videos. Yeah, but what does he ever actually do? Does anybody notice? John Kennedy puts out those videos and he rips people at these hearings and he says, but he votes for the Ukraine war and he still votes for everything globalist. And he says that this list is pure fallacy. It's fake that Benny Johnson has put out. I don't think it is. And by the way, why is this vote secret? Why is the vote secret? Why is it that they're basically unnamed ballots? So you don't attach your name to the vote. All you do is put in a name that you want. So nobody has any idea. So you go in to vote for this as a senator and you put on some sort of sheet of paper, Cornyn, Thune, or Scott, and nobody knows who you are. Who voted for him as a Republican? Why is it a secret ballot? Why? Explain to me the virtue behind it. Explain to me how that benefits. Explain to me the benefits to the American people of this being a secret ballot. Why can't we know who our senators voted for? We need to put an end to all of this. When you see people, look at Cornyn's list. And you just heard Benny Johnson. Cornyn said that he can, Cornyn or Thune, because Benny Johnson put them together, so I can't attribute which statement to which person, called Trump a cancer on the Republican Party and wished that he had not run again. That's Cornyn and Thune are now running to confirm Trump's nominees and are running to allegedly push forward Trump's agenda. These are all Paul. They are Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan married to an activist, liberal, leftist hack who, because he actually is that. That's why he's very comfortable being married to one. You look at the people underneath here. Some of them you'll know. Some of them you don't. Some of them I don't know. Grassley's for Cornyn. Hawley's for Cornyn. Kennedy's for Cornyn. Of course, Cuckboy Lankford's for him. See, it's allegedly Thune voted for Cornyn. Jim Banks for Thune? And Aaron said this. If you look down the list, where's Collins at?
She's middle of Thune.
Oh, she is. So both Collins and Murkowski voted for Thune.
Yeah.
Who specifically said he did not want Donald Trump to run for president, that we need to move on. If you see your name next to Murkowski or Collins, who again are occupying seats that should go to a Republican every time, but they don't because they run as conservatives and legislate as left of Stalin progressives. If you see your name next to them on a list, get your name off the list because you're doing the wrong thing and stupid thing. Look at Tim Scott for Thune. Let's see who else on that. McConnell, of course, for Thune.
That's
Teddy Cruz for Thune, of course. Tom Cotton for Thune. They put out such great videos. My son said the other day, I just can't stand Ted Cruz. I'm like, why is that? And I'm like, I don't particularly think super highly of him either, but why? This is why. And now on Scott, look at all of them. You have the real, actual conservatives. None of these people are perfect, but look at Rubio stepping up. Look at Rubio stepping up. Tupperville, Vance, these are real conservatives. Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, Haggerty, these are real conservatives. The future of the Senate, and Moreno just took the Senate seat in Ohio. And by the way, why are we doing this now? Why does this have to be done now? Trump isn't in office. Let's do it in the light on January 3rd, shall we? In the light, everybody comes up and says who they voted for. None of them want to suffer the repercussions of voting for an anti-Trump rhino. Why would all of these people vote for an anti-Trump rhino? Because everybody on the Cornyn list, everybody on the Thune list is an anti-Trump rhino. That's the sad state that we are in. Everybody you see on those lists, just about every one of those people voted for Kamala Harris. And they have R's in front of their names. They call themselves Republican. Go, Aaron.
I just wanted to say I thought it was funny that Thune voted for Cornyn, but Cornyn voted for Cornyn.
Yeah, that's part of how they're saying that's a foul. The list is foul. So that's the attack. Kennedy came out and said, why would Thune vote for Cornyn? Why would Thune vote? In the first act of selflessness in the history of the Senate, Thune voted for Cornyn. That's how he said that this list is fake. I don't believe the list is fake.
No, I don't either.
All right, let's go to the next one. Where am I at? Charlie Kirk? Yep. Brent, am I at Charlie Kirk?
Yep.
Okay. John Thune on Trump. Play it for me.
Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. Would you support him?
Well, I'm hoping, Leanne, to have other options.
There you go. Then he's going to run Donald Trump's Senate. He's going to push Donald Trump's agenda forward when he risked for other options. He was simply asked. And by the way, he wasn't asked whether or not he voted for Trump or would vote for Trump. He said, if Trump wins, would you support him? And he said, would you, what would be the word? Go play the video again. Bro, go back to him, play it again. I don't want to misquote it. Get it.
The Republican nominee, would you support him?
Well, I'm hoping, Leanne, to have other options.
Okay, so there you go. So he's not even asking who he's voting. Would you even support Trump if he won? Would you? I hope we have. So he's telling you, I'm not going to support Trump when he wins. And look at all the senators lining up to vote for the guy who refuses to support Donald Trump. Go to the next one for me. John Cornyn becomes the latest Senate Republican to ramp up criticism of Trump. Cornyn is among the lawmakers campaigning for re-election who have signaled distance from the president. And this is our option? All right, go to the next one for me. Just showing you. Exclusive from CNN Politics, McConnell says he has directed Cornyn to engage with Democrats on a bipartisan solution on gun violence, i.e., of course, gun control, red flag laws. And I know, listen, somebody put in the chat, I have to look it up, on Rick Scott and red flag laws. And by the way, even Matt Gaetz looked at doing red flag laws. Republicans are not perfect. As Bongino says, they're not the solution to all your problems, but Democrats certainly are the cause of all your problems. You have to vote for the lesser of two evils, oftentimes, or the person who's closest to your political platform. Go to the next one for me. Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Cornyn says he broke with Trump on deficit, border wall, and kept opposition private. So he broke with Trump secretly. So he was a saboteur, telling Trump to his face that he supported him, but behind closed doors, sabotage him. That's who John Cornyn is. He cannot be Senate Majority Leader. Trump needs to weigh in publicly and endorse Rick Scott and absolutely throttle Thune and Cornyn. Believe me, those who are, you know, if anybody has any access to the Trump administration, get word to him. These are your absolute enemies. This is Mitt Romney with the name John Thune and John Cornyn. That's who they are. It's like electing Mitt Romney. All right. Oh, go to Liberty Score for Cornyn. And Aaron, get your materials ready here. So Liberty Score, in other words, how often did John Cornyn vote for conservative principles or conservative legislation? 54% of the time. That means 46% of the time he voted with Kamala Harris. Aaron, what's Thune's stats?
Thune is...
Is he better?
51%.
Oh, 51%. So 49% of the time, he voted with Kamala Harris.
Yep.
46% of the time, the man who wants to lead the Senate voted with Kamala Harris. And then the other man who wants to lead a Senate voted 49% of the time with Kamala Harris. No, thank you. Absolutely no, thank you. I have to show you this one because this is a fun video. Sarah Gonzalez video. Look at the personality of these people. I mean, I thought these were our elected representatives. Why do we have no access to them? Why is it they have security that doesn't allow a little tiny woman to ask them questions? Play for me, Brent.
We are ashamed that you are our senator in Texas.
Hi, Senator Sarah Gonzalez. Hi, I was just wondering why you keep voting to send our money to Ukraine.
Well, because I think it's in our national security interest to help them defend themselves.
I may
because
not get
if
it
Putin
in
takes
here.
Ukraine, he wants to invade NATO countries.
Americans are starving right now, and you guys are sending our tax money to Ukraine. We have our own problems to deal with.
You want a World War III? Or
let me grab you over here. Pardon me. Sorry.
Hey, why did you call Ken Paxton a criminal? Senator, why did you call Ken Paxton a criminal?
Ask the call from over here.
You can't answer? Nothing to say?
I'm
a conservative and I'm asking a question.
Come on. Come on, step up, you can.
Why did you call Ken Paxton a criminal, Senator?
There you go.
Can you stop touching me, please? Thank you. He was touching.
Oh, come on, give her access. What the hell?
Senator, what is your answer? There are more J6s from Texas.
All right, so there we go. Why is it that Cornyn can't? I mean, look at Sarah Gonzalez. She's this little tiny person. These giant security guards are keeping her away. She's not trying to touch him. She's not trying to get within 5 feet of him. She's trying to ask him verbal questions. She's trying to ask him questions. And the security is trying to keep her from asking questions. Why did he just simply answer the questions? Why are you financing Ukraine? New York Post, ex-defense official Cash Patel emerges as top contender for CIA director. We'll see if that pans out. That absolutely 1,000% endorsed that. And I like the DNI or NSA, National Security Advisor, to be Mike Flynn, which it should be. But anyway, so she's just simply trying to ask the man questions. They're such bourgeois elitists. These are our representatives. With all this security, you're not allowed to have any access to them. And they're above us. No, though. They're our representatives. They're not above us. They represent us. They're like our attorneys. They're not above us. All right, well, and just one thing on this. From Thomas D. Murphy for U.S. Senate account, Twitter post. The Republican prime sponsor who whipped votes for Joe Biden's 2022 gun control vote and the Republican responsible for stripping gun rights for millions with his Fix NICS Act passed in 2018, Johnny Cornyn. No, thank you. We don't need Democrats. They're literally like transgender. They really are. They're like transgender people. A man dressed up as a woman. They are Democrats dressed up as Republicans, but they're still fully penis Democrats. We don't need these people. It's time to move on. Rick Scott's the only viable option. Rick Scott said, I'm 1,000%. I said 1,000. He said 100. 100% on board with the Trump agenda. Would Cornyn say that? Would Cornyn say that? Absolutely not. Would Thune say it? No, they both advocated to get rid of Donald Trump. All right, 1045. That's it. I gosh, dog. I could still go on. I got it all. I'm full of it right now. Rumble Rants. Rumble Rants tonight. Thank you, guys. Nitsua, $99, $10. The matriarch of the Rumble Rant. Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Sean Hiltebeitel, $10. Thank you guys so much. Stick around for the post game. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Post game's awesome. You'll love it. God bless you guys. I'm going to make this quick because it's 1046. Love you. God bless you. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you that you need to receive it? Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Hi, Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.